This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Spiegs, I know that you are hot to trot about Tyler Warren.
I am.
Could I convince you over the next 24 hours to dig into the story of Colston Loveland? He runs routes like a receiver.
Okay.
He's very athletic. Why don't we let Nate Tice break him down a little bit? Here's what he had to say about the tight end position and those two guys versus each other when he was on the Midday Show.
So I just think there's the potential to do more with Loveland than Warren.
Matt Miller said that.
I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete.
I think Loveland is closer to LaPorta than Warren is.
All right, I get that.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
Wow, so it's Colston Loveland, not Tyler Warren. That's a bit of a surprise.
I was trying to convince Spiegs that he should take a second look at Colston Loveland.
His opinion was well thought out and mapped out beautifully. It was noted and discarded.
Not noted and discarded.
Interesting. Good conversation. Good nuance. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Touchdown, Michigan. Colston Loveland.
They were kind of asking me, you know, what are some of my favorite tight ends to watch? And I mentioned a couple and I put LaPorta's name in there. Shout out to him too, a heck of a player. But Coach Johnson, he's like, yeah, you remind me a lot of him. That was pretty cool to hear. And obviously now seeing it all come full circle, I'm excited.
Long as I can be heard, if you want to dismiss it, I'm totally fine. Hey, man, but yeah, at least it's there for you. So in November, when I walk in here and I go, yeah, hey, Speaks, you remember that Colston Loveland guy?
Let's go, Coach. Come on, let's go.
I will give you validation rights on Colston Loveland. That's all you want.
And I'm
the official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the Spiegel and Holmes show. Boy, what a day to be Holmes. What a day to be Holmes.
Man,
that on the Spiegel and Holmes show.
That open just laid it out nice and clean, didn't it? I think you've always been a Hall of Famer at the Validation Bank. Whether there was, frankly, some validation in the account or not, you've always been a Hall of Famer at the bank. But today, whew, time to set up and make a nice big fat withdrawal from the Validation Bank.
So who do I go to for the withdrawal? Because you seem like the manager that doesn't want me to get to my account.
No, I do. I do. I would like to give you the sweet validation that you need here at the Validation Bank. Thanks for coming in. Unfortunately,
we got to check your credit.
Unfortunately, I need to talk to my supervisor. I can't be trusted to handle validation in those denominations by myself. Let me check with my supervisor, Mr. Tannehill.
Yes, sir.
I've got a man here who wants to make a big withdrawal at the Validation Bank. He seems to have enjoyed the idea of Colston Loveland more than my idea of Tyler Warren. Should I give him that sweet validation, sir?
Ooh, you know, it's funny. I have to check with my supervisor, actually, but my gut says, you know, on a Friday afternoon like this, we don't carry that type of validation on on hand right before a weekend. I can give you an 800 number to call.
I got to come back on Monday, is what you're saying, to get my validation?
No, man, go ahead, because the story's going to change, and we're going to forget any of this ever happened by Monday. So.
I bet you're hoping that we will.
Take it. Go, man, go. That's the guy. Why did you like Colston Loveland better than Tyler Warren? And why were you not shocked? In fact, right out pleased to see the Bears make that pick at 10.
So a couple of things. I think Tyler Warren's really good. And I think that had they drafted Tyler Warren, you could make the argument that they could have a lot of fun with formations and different things with Tyler Warren.
That was, in fact, my argument.
To me, the difference between them is the type of routes that you're able to run with Colston Loveland and how that ends up impacting what the Bears do offensively. The Laporta thing, you know, Ben Johnson clearly feels like he's maybe a little bit more Laporta than, and that's where I left. Like, after watching everything, I was like, you know, both guys are good. But if you're saying I have an opportunity for a guy who's spectacularly athletic for the position, knowing what the Lions have done over the last couple of years, this makes a lot of sense to me.
You know what's interesting is the way we talked about Ben's vision as our segment that we've been doing since he got here, and we'll keep doing in advance of the of training camp, was we decided to say this as the caveat. Not going to be the exact same offense, but personnel-wise, after 3 years as the offensive visionary of the Lions, that's extremely relevant. So, and one of the first ones we did was tight end. We know how much he likes to use two tight end sets, and here he is enabling himself to do that and with a guy that matches the jewel that he found in Laporta in Detroit.
And I talked a little bit about this on House of L, and I'll share it with you. I didn't share it on the air, but part of the reason that I ended up going down the Colston Loveland rabbit hole is that someone said to me, you guys are real high on Warren, huh? I'm like, yep. Have you looked at the Colston Loveland tape? And I was like, I've looked at it a little bit. Maybe you should do a little bit more on Colston Loveland.
Interesting.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I wonder if the same person who talked to you talked to Mully and Haw, who those two guys, our esteemed morning guys.
They picked him last night.
Both flat out picked and predicted that the Bears would take Colston Loveland. So some sourced conversations perhaps were taking place.
It's nice every now and again when someone just kind of nudges you into
the right direction.
Now, look, I do think there are a lot of people that are being nudged in the wrong direction on purpose. I think that lying season, man, like this is what it looks like. All that stuff. Oh, well, they're going to trade up to 5. Meanwhile, Jacksonville's out here like, we're not trading down.
We're actually trading up. Thank you very much.
We've been working for 2 weeks to trade up. This deal that we have is basically at the finish line before the draft starts, and then it shocks everyone that they go up and they get Travis Hunter.
I love that a team that ends up with Travis Hunter is all in on the usage of Travis Hunter. I don't know how long it's going to last.
I can't.
But I'm here for it, man.
Here's what I think they need to do, and this is just my opinion. I think that he needs to be a full-time defensive guy that you build packages for offensively, because I think that's the easier way to do it.
I think that's how a lot of teams would have done it. But if you're trading the farm to get up and get him, I think you're going to let him be the anomaly he's capable of being, at least for a while.
But look, they have Brian Thomas Jr. down there, and he had a phenomenal, like, I know that we were struck by what was going on with the Giants, but Brian Thomas Jr. had a phenomenal season last year. He's a real dude. And I think that
Travis doesn't have to be a number one to play that much.
Absolutely. He can be a supplement, but I think it's easier to do it that way than the reverse of having him be an offensive player and then, you know, picking spots for him on defense. But we'll see. Jacksonville's wacky.
Man, it may not work at all, and that coach might be a boob.
Yeah.
It's entirely on the table. I just love that Travis is going to get to kind of write his own ticket, it seems, in that way.
It's very cool that seeing that play out last night and seeing someone be so excited to get him that they're willing to trade as much as they traded to get him was cool. And then you start looking, you're like, oh, well, there go the tackles. Huh. That's interesting.
Three tackles in the top nine. Your guy Kelvin Banks gone at nine right before the Bears pick at 10. I wonder if they'd gone that direction.
See, that's where I was last night. I was sitting there thinking, is this a contingency? Not that you didn't want Colston Loveland, and you clearly wanted him over Tyler Warren because they were both available at the time, but did you think that it would end up that way where you would be able to draft it, or was your desire to then draft a tackle at that spot, but then you're like, the ones that we might want are all gone.
Now, Ryan Poles spoke late last night after the first round was done, and we've got little bits of it that we can play for you. This is Poles talking about his draft tool that he uses as a predictor, and he was asked if he saw all these tackles going in the top nine.
Do you think there'd be three tackles taken in the top nine?
Yeah. It's 4 years now that it's a pretty good tool. I feel comfortable.
That's a pretty good tool.
He's standing behind me at the validation bank.
Congratulations.
Seriously, dude, Ryan Poles was extremely proud of himself and the work they had done as of last night. Yeah. He's feeling it. He's back to feeling it.
He
right
was
now.
Tool. Berlin's House of Tools. He was definitely puffy chested last night, as he should be.
Well, Ben Johnson. Draft tool's been a good predictor all 4 years.
Johnson talking about, now we're cooking with grease, as he's talking to
Hot Grease.
Hot Grease and Colston Loveland. Like, we have that too? Let's do it.
Hey, Colston.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Ryan Poles from the Bears. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Ready to be a Chicago Bear?
Let's go, Coach. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Oh, I awesome, appreciate brother. You.
Yeah. We are going to be great. I'm going to hand you over to Coach Johnson now, okay?
Yep.
Someone's getting after their back.
Let's go. What was that, man?
Coach Johnson.
Tell me something now.
Come on now.
We cooking with hot grease now, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate
smart,
it.
Smart, tough, explosive. I mean, I know exactly what we're getting, man.
Come on.
You excited?
Yes, sir. I can't wait. I can't wait to
good,
be a Bear.
Good. Man, it's a huge, it's the first pick as a head coach, man. And you're exactly what we're looking for, man. It's beautiful.
Coach, I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, too.
Let's go be great. Let's go win games.
It's a match made in heaven. Hey, I'm going to pass you off to our president here. Okay? This is Kevin Warren.
All right.
All right, man.
Hey, Colston, congratulations.
Hey, how you doing?
We're the largest landowner in Arlington Heights. We own 326 acres, and it's a great piece of land.
Yep. It's awkward that he went into that verbiage. He's like working Colston Loveland for the stadium leverage. What
you
are you
have
doing?
To work him. He's going to be under contract soon.
Get those cranes in the air.
I didn't think that you had time enough today to do that, Teddy. That is outstanding.
There's so much I love about that. My favorite thing might be, cooking with hot grease is pretty great from Ben Johnson. But how about Colston assumes it's the coach that's on the line, but it's Ryan Poles that's on the line.
So here's the thing about that. I think that's just football people. Tanny and I literally call each other coach because we've been around so many coaches that only call you coach.
Well, but that's one of you does that. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
He's not the only one that does it.
Ronnie, remember, explain to us why he does that. And it's because of their lifetime being around nothing but coaches. And okay. So by default, we are around nothing but coaches.
Right, that's fine. Speaks. And Colston's a kid and he doesn't know that the GM is the boss, perhaps, but it sure belies the idea that he was drafted by the coach and not the GM. Speaks. Or am I just finding my own validation?
I think you're finding it.
I'm validation poor today.
I've spent a lot of time around football people.
Are you negative validation today?
It's a great band.
I'm a little bit in the red. It's $35 every time I bounce a validation check.
Yeah, man. You got to make sure that you get that covered before Monday. They do this. There was a line coach at the Bears named Carl Dunbar, who I believe is still with the Steelers.
Oh,
It's
Carl Douglas. Damn it, I was close.
And he would always just talk to me and be like, Coach, I got to tell you.
Okay.
We're doing our best here, Coach.
All right. Well, Colston's a kid. Either way, that's
football people are
an amazing
like that.
Phone call. It's an amazing phone
call. It is. It's a great phone call, especially the part where Kevin Warren has to convince him that they should move to Arlington Heights. I wasn't expecting that on draft night, Coach, but I'm glad that we had it.
I'll be here, Coach. You don't have to do that. Like, I'll play wherever the stadium is. I'm all good.
Cole told me that Arlington Heights is really great. Don't worry about it.
Colston Loveland, when he talked later on, he mentioned there were 150 people with him then. While he's doing his Zoom in a quiet room, there are 150 people wherever he was for his party, his draft night party, and there were 500 more at the country club. Idaho representing strong for that young man.
Yeah, he talked a lot about it in the walk up to the draft about being from a small town. He's not a farmer, but his families are, like, on both sides of his families, there are farmers. So he would be a guy that would help them, like, herd cattle and
do other things. Ryan Poles mentioned another task that that Colston Loveland did in Idaho.
So obviously the tape did its thing. We always want to understand the person and the makeup as well. So another part of our process, we got on the plane and we started moving around the country to see different guys, and we spent time with him, and it was awesome. Like, just wait until he's up here. You'll understand there's something different about him. Highly intelligent. He can handle a big playbook, and he's going to be a rookie, so there's going to be things to go through. But the person, the character, the football makeup, family background, I mean, it's not a joke. Like, Idaho tough. You know, I asked him about his hand strength, because not only can you see it when he catches the ball, but when he blocks. And he was like, have you ever put up wire fence in Idaho before? I said, no. that explains, I mean, he's been doing some labor that kind of makes him who he is. And when you watch the tape, you can see that. And when you all meet him, you'll see that as well.
It's my new
Chicago
question.
Toughness.
Oh, no, he's Idaho tough. Lawrence, have you ever put up a wire fence in Idaho?
I have not.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
can't play tight end for me.
It's funny, though, because Ryan Poles does have a funny anecdote about driving in Big Sky Country that he told me and Dan about. Was he going from Colorado or Montana to Colorado, I think it was, and he was just like going, and he got pulled over, and the officer was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just trying to get to this, you know, game or whatever. And the officer's like, look, we don't really care, like, how fast you're going, but you're gonna hit something and it's gonna kill you. So slow down.
You're not gonna damage it, but it's going to kill you.
Yeah,
that's the thing, man. I was in my mom's Volvo station wagon when I was a little kid, and we hit a deer, and it totaled the Volvo station wagon.
And those are
beasts of cars.
Those,
yes.
Those are made tough.
Yeah, it was an awful scene.
It's Idaho tough.
And my mom, just after, I'll never forget the image, she was putting together a wire fence in Idaho.
Well, see,
at the time,
everything, time is a flat circle.
And she was a damn good tight end.
Very good. She was good at all of those things, and that's why she got drafted number 10 overall.
Even though I wanted Tyler Warren. You know, I'm comfortable with the fact that I'm the guy who wanted Tyler Warren, and I got to wear that forever because he's damn good. And that conversation was a really interesting one that teams and fan bases and media has been having for like a couple of months. And apparently it's really over the last few weeks that Colston Loveland overtook Tyler Warren in some organization's mind.
If you're someone who likes Tyler Warren, you should not feel bad about it. He's an incredible prospect. Like, for real, for real. This just might be one of those things where both guys are good. This might be slightly a better fit for what the Bears want to do. But both guys are good. And it will be fun to kind of, I feel bad for him because I don't think that he's got quality of quarterback that Colston has to play with. So that's a guy that I feel like maybe the second team that he ends up on might be the team where you go, oh yeah, I remember when Tyler Warren came out in 25.
I saw this nugget last night. The Colts have not had a tight end crack the 500-yard mark in a season since Eric Ebron in 2018. So it's been 7 years since they've had a tight end even get to 500 yards.
Who is Andrew Luck's teddy bear? His blankie down there at the his best friend who was the tight end?
Kobe Fleener?
No. Oh, I can't believe I blanked on this.
I just love that Kobe Fleener's name came to mind, though. Wasn't he at Stanford with him, maybe, Kobe Fleener?
Probably. God, I can't believe, because he was always talking about that guy, and they were, like, super tight. I'm sorry, I'm throwing out a question that I don't know the answer to.
Dwayne Allen was a guy.
No.
After that, like a couple years after that, this is his rookie year in 2012.
Yeah, keep going.
Oh yeah, Fleener was on that roster.
He was, and he was, I think he was his guy at Stanford as well. I'm not sure. You're thinking of Anthony or like Gonzalez, the little wide receiver.
He used to talk about this guy all the time. It wasn't Dallas Clark because that's an all-time player.
Yeah, and that's Peyton Manning era.
This is gonna bother me.
Textures will bring it to us. Textures will bring it to us. But yeah, man.
Doyle?
Jack Doyle.
Oh, Jesus, Jack Doyle.
That's who it was. He was always talking about Jack Doyle. That's the guy. It's not Fleener, 847 texter.
Jewish guy, right? Jack Doyle, I believe. Memory serves.
So why don't we take a break? Why don't we come back and talk a little bit more about the Warren thing? Because I do think it's interesting. I think people's reaction is really interesting to this too, and I have an explanation.
Good.
On why I feel like people other than you are reacting like, wait a minute, what about this guy that we were supposed to get?
Yeah, you hinted at it as we talked about it. Now, kudos to you, man, for bringing it up because I was so hot for Warren.
You're not wrong have been.
I know, but it's like, but you brought it up and we did a nice deep dive, and I think there's some specifics that you've mentioned and you can elucidate on, and Ryan Poles even gave us something about it last night as well.
So we've got time because the Cubs are in a rain delay. So bonus Spiegel and Holmes for you, which is great for you and great for us. It gives us an opportunity to talk with you about the draft. And if we have time, we can even take people's calls on this. So hang with us. A little hang with them. We got you covered. Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
Both really good players. There's a lot of conversations there back and forth. Tyler's going to be a great football player as well. Just in terms of what fits what we want to do a little bit better with the personnel group that we have here on our roster, we thought that the combination of what we have was the better fit.
Ryan Poles talking about Colston Loveland, the Bears' number 10 overall pick in last night's round one. Round two and three is tonight. We will have coverage here on the Score starting at 6 o'clock or whenever the Cubs game ends, because we don't know when it's going
to
start.
Boy, that's a good question. That's a really good question, exactly how we're going to be able to play that whole thing. But
it seems like there is a window to play it after like 3:30 or something like that.
Right. And then it's possible that our draft coverage then could
shrink.
Could shrink a little bit. But I mean, it was great last night. Let me say first that it was great last night. And tonight will be between 6 and 9 for Draft Night on the Score, hosted by Mark Grody and Anthony Herron. During night two, they'll have instant reaction. And the reaction is going to continue at 9 p.m. with Rami Makhlouf, who will be taking your calls and breaking it all down during round three. That's tonight, starting at 6, right here on the Score in the Odyssey app.
This is a tweet from our friend Cassie Carlson. She tweets, Michigan head coach Jerome Moore said Colston Loveland is ultra-competitive. Quote, refuses to lose in anything. Even to talk about Jordan or LeBron. Close quote.
Interesting. Well, look, do you want to talk about why you thought Loveland was the deal? Because we also have polls talking about Loveland that I want to hear as well.
So here's why. When I start to think about what Ben Johnson might be able to do formationally, I was talking with the Midday Show about this as we were kind of all in a holding pattern on what it is that we're going to do. If you're not driving, I want you to close your eyes to help you visualize this. Speaks, you're not driving, so you can close your eyes, try to visualize it too.
I might nap, but go ahead.
I want you to visualize the Bears in 12 personnel.
Because 11 personnel is one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers.
I want you to visualize the left side being the strong side of the formation, meaning Cole Kmet is on the line of scrimmage.
And 12 personnel means two tight ends.
Two tight ends. I want you to also visualize that then Roma Dunze is off the line of scrimmage on the strong side. On the weak side is DJ Moore, okay?
Okay.
Colston Loveland is either in motion or flexes to an H-back spot on the strong side.
So he's the move tight end.
Mm-hmm. Now I want you to visualize what that looks like and what that looks like to a defense. And then the defense having to make some decisions of like, okay, They have made this a really strong side. So we're going to take our resources and try to work it. And this is what we're going to do. On the back side of the play, we're going to leave DJ Moore one-on-one. That's what Colston Loveland offers them the opportunity to do. Because they're going to have to, a safety is going to have to account for both Rome, in the scenario that I'm painting out, mm-hmm. both Rome and Loveland being able to go deep. Like, that's the thing about Loveland. Like, he runs wide receiver routes.
And he gets separation like a wide receiver.
He sure does.
So does Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren can do that. But Loveland is a better blocker and better at some of the other end stuff.
Why? I think Warren is better at some of the blocking stuff. I think Loveland is better at separating from linebackers and safeties.
Okay.
And I just think that he's a cleaner route runner. And so, like, in the scenario that I'm setting up, like, the idea of you have to account for all of that. You got to account for Cole Kmet. You've got to account for Rome Odunze. And now you got to account for this guy. And you have to think seriously about where your safety is mm-hmm. and where he's going to be. And then you go, you know what? We're just gonna leave DJ Moore one-on-one. And if he's one-on-one on the other side,
whew,
this is the type of weaponry that if Ben Johnson wants to really mess with defenses, I think he's got something. He's cooking with hot grease.
He's cooking with hot grease. To go with what you just said, which I think was very well said, here's Ryan Poles on what Loveland will allow them to do in terms of Ben's vision.
When you evaluate Ben's vision for what he wants out of personnel and things he can do with them, what do you see as the fit between Ben's vision and Colston's skill set?
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, it's versatile. You can do whatever you need to do. We can run the ball and play physical brand of football. If you match that with a more physical, bigger personnel group, well, you have a mismatch on your hands as well. So it's multiple, and it allows Ben to, do what he does best, which one is to have a physical brand of football, but also be, creative and do some things that are going to put teams in a pickle.
Let's go. So I think of a pickle as a baseball term.
Oh, that's a great term for baseball.
Right, everyone classically.
Knows we used to play pickle.
Sure. And I have the baseballism t-shirt of the pickle running between the bases, in the middle of a rundown. But now, Poles is reclaiming it as a football thing to put teams in a pickle. So you're going to play heavy or you're going to play nickel? What are you going to do? And however you play it, there'll be a mismatch available for Ben and Caleb to take advantage of. With this guy.
Yes. And they
that's
can,
awesome.
Texas says, Loho, your scenario is good, but who's protecting Caleb's backside? Look, you can't get everything that you need in one pick.
They could get a round two tackle tonight that they feel just as good about it at on the left side.
The draft isn't over.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
They have three more picks in the top 75.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, or I am not on board with just rolling with Braxton Jones, but they might be.
I think they might be with Braxton and Kieran to back him up. But this kid, Ariante Ursary of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, is somebody getting talked about quite a bit as a potential second round target for the Bears tonight. They've got number 39 and number 41 tonight. And, those are two pretty damn good picks coming up tonight. They might go running back and tackle tonight. They might go edge rusher and tackle. They might go edge rusher and running back. I don't know. Those three needs, it'd be awfully fun to see them get two people they really believe in at those three spots. And maybe there'll be safety. Your guy Malachi Starks is gone.
Yeah.
To the Ravens.
He went to the perfect bleeping place.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something.
Go ahead. Tell me something.
I'm going to add this to my account. Uh-huh. That guy,
your validation account,
is going to end up being a Pro Bowl 2 All-Pro level player.
So Pro Bowl 2 All-Pro. You can just go Pro Bowl. If you get Pro Bowl, I'll give it to you.
I think he might eventually be an all-pro safety. But
okay.
I'm telling you. And like,
all-pro, there's only two.
It's the perfect place for him.
Him and Kyle Hamilton.
It's the perfect place for him to go and play.
Yeah.
I was sitting there last night like, really? Of course. Of course it's the Ravens.
Mm.
They do things well.
Yeah,
and as far as like the tackles go, you'll notice that all of the tackles that people were salivating over, they went before the Bears picked. And then there wasn't a tackle taken until the last pick in the draft in the first round.
In the first round.
So
there was that big drop between tackles. Tackles are important. Good thing that Poles has a really good tool. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can call us at Spiegel & Holmes, and you can text us as well. Lots of texts coming in as we are fielding calls and texts here during the rain delay of the Cubs game.
312-644-6767. Let's go to JR. Hey, JR, you're on the Score.
What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Delightful.
Good. Hey, being the Bears fan that I am, do we know everything there is to need to know about Loveland's shoulder? I mean, yeah, did he end the season last year hurt, or was this a nagging thing all year? I'm just concerned that, you know, we've already got two tackles with handicapped parking privileges. I'm just worried that now we might have something with a tight end like that.
He had an AC joint repaired in January. According to everything I've heard and seen, he will be ready for training camp.
Yep, Jeff King and others said.
And Braxton Jones is going to be ready, too. I can't wait.
And look,
kind of seems like you don't want to be happy today, JR.
You're in Negative Town. You're driving towards Negative Town.
I'm 60 years old, and I've just seen the water under the bridge, and know better.
Yeah, but this is a new regime and a new year, and that sounds like it sounds like a miserable existence. You're choosing, JR. For God's sakes, they just drafted the kid. What's your life about, JR? Come on.
Well, do me a favor. When he pulls in, check his license plate, make sure there's not a handicap thing on it, okay?
Yeah, well, probably you should stay away from talking about people who need assistance when it comes to their parking.
Is it disabled now?
Yeah, we heard you the first time.
Yeah. We get the joke.
But
it's not that funny.
Remember, Cade McNown did that at UCLA, and he didn't have the right to? Remember, that's one of Cade McNown's indiscretions while in college? Is that he used those parking permits without having the right to?
Yes.
Told you a little bit about the entitlement that traveled with him to the NFL.
There was some entitlement and privilege that played out in the draft last night, too. And it's going to play out again tonight.
The empty couch where Shedeur Sanders was supposed to be was quite something. You know what else was something? Was Mel Kiper, not Dwayne Kiper, the Giants broadcaster, but Mel Kiper's mission to tell everybody that the league was screwing up. I don't know where that was informed, but Mel Kiper brought receipts of quarterbacks that went too late and the bad quarterbacks that went before them. Like, he had content for days about Shedeur Sanders being overlooked.
Well, I think I'm remembering this right. I think Kiper was the person who kept telling people this Rodgers thing is stupid. He should be being drafted right now.
And so he was making a withdrawal at the Validation Bank last night, being like, this is the way I felt when Aaron Rodgers was just sitting there. It's the way I felt back then when that was happening. He kept calling Shedeur like a really good pocket quarterback who people were sleeping on.
I do think Shedeur is a really good pocket quarterback. I also think that there are other things that I wish he were just a little... shout out to Skilo. I wish he was a little bit taller.
Wish he was a baller?
He is a baller. I also wish that he was just a tad bit more athletic, because then I think it would be easier for people to see that vision.
Hmm.
The other issue is, try to think of it from a coach who is close to being fired in their position. If you're banking on Shedeur Sanders to elevate your team, and I'm not here to tell you that it's wrong to do that, if you fail, the first thing that's going to happen is people are going to go, well, you know what they should do. You know what the Giants should do. Should hire his dad.
Yeah, it seems to be the thing is that a lot of organizations are afraid of having to deal with Deion. Like, it's Deion's fault Shedeur was falling. Did you see who broke the Giants' interest in Jackson Dart a day before the draft?
Shams.
No.
Just because Shams does stuff?
Joe Shane's kid.
Who he should have listened to last year.
Carson Shane, on his Instagram, put up a Jackson Dart highlight reel and then immediately set his account to private, seemingly realizing he shouldn't have done that. That was a day before the draft. So when the Giants traded back into the first round and were going quarterback, a lot of the NFL draft world knew that Carson Shane had let the cat out of the bag.
Jackson Dart is really, really interesting to me.
Big time high school prospect.
Yeah.
What, do you go to UCLA first and then transfer?
It was USC. Might have been
USC.
Right? He's interesting to me.
Three years for Lane Kiffin.
He's got all the stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he can put it together, which is why people make the comp to Josh Allen, where you go, give me the guy that's got all the stuff, and I'll figure out a way to fix it. And Brian Daboll did. And I think people are going to look at Jackson Dart as that type of a project. But yeah, man, it's an interesting choice. It's an interesting choice. And I'm not surprised that Shadur is sitting here in the second round.
I wish he had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4 Impala.
Me too. That song, by the way, I heard it recently. It just puts you in a good mood.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Well, the sample's really good. I forget what the sample is, but there's that horn line that's on it is badass.
It's a good sunny day song. Mm. And it's just like you can put yourself in that position. It doesn't even have to be an issue of height. You can just be like, oh, yeah, I remember being the guy that didn't get the girl that I wanted for whatever reason, that you didn't get the girl, or you were the girl that didn't get the guy, or the girl that didn't get the girl. Whatever it is, you can live that space because of Ski-Lo. And the song is just fun.
Spinning by Bernard Wright is what the sample is from. Right, that's it. Yeah, it's a good groove. It's a good groove.
That's what we do here on this show. Mm-hmm. We don't kink shit. There it is!
That feels nice. I don't wish Colston Loveland was a little bit taller.
I think 6'5 is about right.
6'5 is just fine. Absolutely. And he seems to be a baller, and the shoulder's going to be fine, JR.
Yeah, man.
Just living out here in negative town.
He sure is.
I don't got space for you today.
Tanny, do we need to break?
No, you know what? We can do whatever we want, okay? We're running the flagship here. But, you guys were talking about Shadur. And did you guys hear Matt Bowen today? Like, I think this fits right here. So we can just play this right here if you guys like. But Matt Bowen was talking about his perspective when you're a young player and people kind of throw things out there on spec and try to, alter these young kids' draft stock with hearsay and things like that. It was really good. Shall we take a listen to that?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I don't think it's good for the player. I don't think it's good for the league. I don't. It happens every year, especially in our business, right? Where you get a quote, it's usually from an anonymous source, and that quote takes off. And then it makes its way into front offices in the NFL. I don't like it at all. I don't, because ultimately you're hurting a player's chance. You're hurting their opportunity. That's what the draft is about. You know, a lot of people say it's a life-changing moment. I think it's a life-changing opportunity. I think it's the way I would describe it. Because there's only so many people in this world that get to play NFL football. You're one of the best players in the world when you get to that league. And when your opportunity is lessened, I really don't like it as a former player. I don't. You know, these are young men going into professional football. Give them an opportunity to prove themselves when they get to camp, when they get to that facility and to play at a productive level so they can help your team win, but also build a career, because it doesn't last forever.
Well, and I just appreciate even how you looked at it previously, where even through the lens of the story you wrote that we've referenced, there's always an opportunity there for a coach to see something in somebody. And I wonder if how many times that criticism will hurt somebody's career in ways that we don't necessarily know.
It does, but there's always a way to correct it. And the way to correct it is the football field. Right? Because once you're on that football field, all that, the scouting stuff, it not that it doesn't matter. It does, because that's in terms of your traits and your skill set, your ability to be an explosive mover, that stuff matters in how you play the game. But ultimately, you're judged on that field of play. That's how you are judged in this league, on that field of play. Starts in mini camp and OTAs, but it really starts in training camp when you get into the fall. That's how you prove yourself in this league. I've always said, and I've talked to a lot of players since my time in the league, and I always tell them, the advice I give them is, you know, if you're not drafted where you want to be, you can earn it all back by what you do on the field. You can earn it back and get a second contract, get a third contract. You have those opportunities in front of you. It doesn't matter where you're drafted. You have those opportunities in front of you. And no smart football coach or smart GM is not going to see it when it's happening right in front of them on the football field.
Man, that's such great stuff. That's about way more than football right there.
Well, that's the beauty of Matt's entire arc, because it is as a try-hard player that then plays way beyond what you would expect him to play.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a coach, and he will always have the lesson in his own drafting right there when you're the player that's drafted around Tom Brady.
For sure. For sure. And he had, what, a seven-year career, as you mentioned to him yesterday, even though he got drafted that low in the sixth round as a safety.
Got a seven-year career, and then that guy is in the league for 21 years.
Sure.
It's
but
crazy.
Like, I think most of us can think of a boss at a chosen profession or a chosen craft.
I know who you're visualizing.
That we love, who said, you don't have it. Or I don't see it, you know? And maybe it was a whole industry at a certain point who told you, listener, or told me, you know? And yeah, I'm visualizing somebody. There's a few different people, actually, who, you know, like
leave
we've all.
Leave me out of it. Wasn't my fault.
we've all got our version of what the Brady Six, you know? We've all got our version of that, perhaps. But You don't let other people define your value. If you're lucky enough to get a chance to play or be on the radio or do whatever, then you just keep rolling and you get a chance, hopefully, to define your value.
And Shadur is going to be given a chance.
Yeah.
It's just not in the place that he expected to be given that chance.
Then there's the other part of it, which is that wherever he ends up, and of course, wherever we all end up in life or whatever, the situation has to be one that's fair and gives you a fair shake. All I've ever wanted is a fair shot. I remember radio colleagues saying that about their own situations, some of whom are thriving now. But I mean, so some of these quarterbacks, we know it. We've seen it. We've seen it in this town. They don't get a fair shot or a real shake.
The best thing about this, though, is that he could end up in a situation where maybe he is the heir apparent to Geno Smith. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, of course.
There are places where
he can go learn.
He can go learn. And I think it would be valuable to him to go and do that.
It would have been interesting if he was with Russ and Jameis in New York, but that felt like a circus. Oh, circus written all over
it. And I don't think it's going to be a good circus either.
Whichever host on FAN screams the loudest is going to get to pick the starting quarterback in a given week.
I'm sure it's BT.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know who I wish was still there?
This quarterback situation is a disgrace.
What a disgrace.
Benigno's not there anymore. Sad. Because that's the guy. I would let that guy pick my quarterback.
He's not like popping back in.
I think he's doing a podcast there.
I'm doing a podcast.
And you know who else is doing a podcast?
This podcast is a disgrace.
That I helped do some work for? Steve Summers. Schmooze is still out here in the streets.
Yeah.
Schmooze. These old legends, man. Like, people still want to hear from them.
Damn
after
right.
These big events.
Summers is the best. Summers is the guy Seinfeld calls. Just like every once in a while, he'll just, Summers is on. Let me just call him.
And their spat that they had a few years ago that they eventually like,
Seinfeld and
up.
Summers?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Wait, I didn't know what it
Yes, because you know what it is.
I do.
Right? It was, so go ahead. Tell the folks.
Oh, no. I mean, you probably know the details more.
Well, so Jerry and Steve Summers, Jerry Seinfeld, like they've been, you know, friends for years, and Jerry would go on the show, as Speaks just said. And there was an issue one time where I guess it was Steve Summers asked Jerry for Larry David's email. And Jerry like took offense to that. It's like something that friends don't do, you know, and then they just didn't talk for years, but they eventually did patch things up.
Aww, Jerry from Queens called Summers and they patched it up. I didn't remember that it was about that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard when you ask your famous friend for the other famous person's contact information.
Yeah, it's a rough
so
pivot
tricky,
to
man.
Do.
You
try not to do it. Sometimes you have to.
I'm doing a music thing coming to the weekend of Cubs Sox at the G-Man is going to be this rock and roll thing with the Lindberghers, my band that pays homage to Lynn Bramer. So I'm excited about that. So Dempster's going to come by, which is awesome.
He knows everybody.
I said to Dempster, hey, do you think we could get Peavy? You know, like, that situation. And he's like, I'll ask him. I'm like, thank you. Okay, that works. Like, to have the friend ask the other friend, if they're willing to do that, that's great. But you don't just straight up ask for the contact information.
Yeah, that can be rough. That can be rough. We do have a start time for the Cubs.
Oh, we do.
3:30 is going to be the start time for the Cubs, and that means that we get to hang out for another segment.
Good.
So, if you are a Bears fan and you want to talk about what the Bears did and what you hope they do next, 312-644-6767 is the number. We'll keep diving into Colston Loveland being the choice for the Bears in round one. What will they do in round two? Let's discuss next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Yeah, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
It is a feel-good Friday. The Bears have made their pick in round one. They will have rounds two and three tonight to make choices. We are talking about it here as we build a bridge to Cubs baseball. Cubs pregame show will start at 3:25, so we got you until then.
Man, it's really cool to get to do what we do here at The Score in an afternoons, because you never know. Like, today we thought we were going to be on after Cubs, maybe a quick game, and we'd be on up until 6 o'clock. Instead, we get this, and we start talking, and of course, the people are there. We got phone callers, we have texters, we have listeners, we are chatting about everything. We just had a really good hour talking about Colston Loveland. Lawrence was right. I was wrong. He is smart. I'm stupid. He's good looking. I am not attractive.
You are a very good looking man.
You have a lot of validation in the validation bank. You made a withdrawal from me, the teller at the validation bank. I had to talk to my supervisor, Mr. Tannehill.
He had to talk to his supervisor.
And we don't have this kind of validation on hand on a Friday afternoon. So you'll be back on Monday for more. Oh, good.
Good. Romeoville and Sean. Hey, Sean, you're on The Score.
What's up, man?
Hey, you got Spiegel, you are a handsome man.
I agree.
That's true. That's true. Hey, you know, really, I just called. I wanted to kind of give you guys props, man. I had a pretty serious surgical procedure this week, and you guys were absolute magic to my ears, man, when I was in recovery. I mean, I've always admired your show, but you really got me through, man. It was magic to my ears, man. So I just want to thank you guys for that.
Thank you.
That's wonderful, Sean. You've been a great caller for a long time. Hope you heal up nicely and you're with us for decades more. So.
For us to hear stuff like that actually means quite a bit, because we know that this is an intimate medium, that we are, even though you don't like know us, you know us.
He knows us.
And we're with you in the car. We're with you when you're out for your walk and stuff. We're with you when you're in the hospital room. So it's appreciated that you appreciate what we do.
Absolutely. So I guess just for a Bears question, if it were up to you guys today, would you guys go more offense or more defense today, you know, depending on what's left in the draft? Maybe thinking like, I don't know, maybe a safety or go offensive line. Just like to know what you guys would think. But again, thanks again for this week, man. You guys are, again, magic to the ears.
Thank you. We are happy to be that for you. I wanted to read you this mock of the second round, Speaks, because I think you're going to be a little bit excited. Sports Illustrated put out a mock last night of round two.
Okay.
They have the Bears picking Mike Green.
Mike Green from Marshall, incredible speed and efficiency as an edge rusher. Big time character concerns, which is probably the main reason he's fallen. But I think between James Pierce at Tennessee and Mike Green, those might be the two most natural edge rushers in this draft.
So look, this three picks is our show. Okay, you ready?
Okay, because we talked a lot about Mike Green.
So Mike Green at 39.
Uh-huh, 41.
Then they project at 40, the Saints taking Tyler Shuck.
My nephew, the Saints fan, it's like a 25-year-old, very smart football fan, Saints fan, is like,
he's as old as Tyler Shuck.
He's like, my team's going to take a 26-year-old quarterback. He's 25 right now, but it'll be 26 by opening day.
Pick number 41 for the Bears.
For the Bears.
Quinshon Judkins, running back, Ohio State.
Let's go! Yeah, that's my guy.
We can both be right if they do that.
He is more, Quinshon is more physical and kind of more between the tackles than Travion Henderson, perhaps. I love the way that Quinshon runs, and I think you're going to have DeAndre Swift as your low-rent Sonic for a while here. You know, I don't think they're going to trade him away for a pick or anything. I think DeAndre Swift is a good, solid pro, and they'll find a way to utilize him. So I think you need a Knuckles. You need your David Montgomery type, your basher. And I think Judkins is more that than Henderson is. And I just love the way that he runs. He's got little steps. He makes those little steps. So he's got like really like small area quickness and definitive moves there. I think between the tackles and in the zone read or in the inside zone, I think he'll be an absolute beast.
You know how I like will sometimes just drift off and watch like sports stuff that makes no sense? This week I did that with Le'Veon Bell runs.
Oh, dude.
How fun is that?
Nobody ran like him.
How fun is it just be like, I'm just going to kind of drift. I'm not going full speed.
That thing.
And now I'm gone.
That I mean, he was at an extreme end. But that running back thing, to be patient and then explode once you see the spot, is such a special thing. And I didn't see it a drop with Swift. It's not his thing.
It reminds me of when old school wrestlers tell today's wrestlers, that they need to slow down. Like, I think of Le'Veon Bell like all the time. And I'm like, yeah, because it doesn't make sense. It like the game is so fast for a guy that was just like, I'm just going to drift until I find the space, and then I'm going to be gone.
Let me mention one more edge rusher, and that's Landon Jackson, the defensive end who played for both LSU and Arkansas. He's a lot taller. He's 6'6", 264. So he's got the build to be what Dennis Allen has liked more in defensive ends, which granted Dio Odengbo is. So it depends on what Dennis wants. Like, this has been the thing that has flummoxed me about edge rushers in this draft, is that Allen is a guy who creates pressure a lot of different creative ways. He's not a guy who historically has had his Von Miller or his, you know, or even his Mike Green necessarily of a shorter and faster edge rusher to really be a burner off the edge. He's gotten it through scheme and through sturdy defensive ends who also have moves.
I'd be interested with that second Bear second round pick in Shamar Turner from Texas A&M, the defensive tackle, but we'll see where it goes. I'm very curious on how tonight goes.
I'm cool with defensive tackle. I'm cool with edge. I'm cool with offensive tackle too, if they see one they love.
I agree. Let's go out to Vince from Gurnee. Hey, Vince, you're on the score.
Hello, boys. Thank you for taking my call.
Got it.
I want to echo Sean's words as well. You know, you guys have been amazing. So I'm going to expand my question or my comment to the larger league and draft. I think that narratives impact the draft more so than what we all maybe want to give it credit for, both positively and negatively. Because I'm surprised at how surprised everyone is that two things, that the Bears took the tight end that they took and that Shedeur Sanders fell in the draft. I think that everyone just got so used to hearing that Tyler Warren is just the outright better tight end. And therefore, when we didn't hear his name, that just means that, oh, man, the Bears took somebody that they shouldn't have taken. Why didn't they take the obvious choice? And then similarly with Shedeur Sanders, I think that his whole camp, whether it's, you know, Coach Dion or Shedeur, they were hyping themselves up so much to try to increase their draft stock when really he is kind of a second round talent. And so I think that it's actually going the way it should be. But because the narrative said, oh, you know, he's a program changer and he's going to come in, he's really tough. Look at all the sacks he took and he kept getting up and he's this guy, when really, you know, I don't think he's that much better than the quarterback out of Alabama who hasn't gotten drafted yet.
Jalen Milroe.
Forgetting his name off the top of my head. Yeah. And so, you know, I just think that the narrative, even with Mike Green, you know, the narrative around him is so negative that he fell in the draft, when really we as fans don't really know who he is as a guy. We just follow the headline. So I'm just curious on how you guys think, you know, narratives have really impacted, not just always negatively, but positively too, in regards to how these kids all get chosen. So,
I think it's a great point by you. And I'll say that I think in a positive manner, I think that's what's happened with Jaxson Dart. I think that Jaxson Dart kind of waited for everyone to come back to him. Mm-hmm. Because if you go back to Jackson Dart's high school recruitment and then him ending up at USC, by the way, who was the guy that supplanted him at USC?
Caleb.
Mm-hmm. And then Jackson Dart's got to move on. And he moves, and he ends up in a place with a great offensive mind in Lane Kiffin. He put up really impressive numbers. I think you've got a point. I think that, and I talked a little bit about it on House of L, that I do think that there is some of the, wait, everyone told me that the Bears were going to take Tyler Warren. Where the hell did this Colston Loveland kid come from? Which is why I thought it was great that we did it, like as a show, that we talked about both of those players, so it wouldn't be a surprise to people who listen to the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Yeah.
Because it made sense to be like, well, wait, why don't we look at both players? And then you can kind of choose which one you want.
Which is what they were doing all along in the process. It's like these teams go through a process and it plays out. By the time draft night comes, everybody felt real good about Colston Loveland's shoulder. So that part is gone from the first draft preview you read 6 weeks ago.
Yep.
You know? And it becomes, and you have conversations where you realize, from Ryan Pohl's perspective, who knows? He might have loved Tyler Warren and been as excited as I was about the possibilities. And then he talks to Ben, and Ben's like, no, don't you get it? Colston can do all of the tight end things, which gives me more opportunities. And they went to the pro day and fell in love with Colston at his pro day at Michigan.
And some of this is by design. Some of the Tyler Warren stuff is by design. Well, yeah. You know, the Bears are in on Tyler Warren. They really, really like him. You know what they might do, though? They might jump up to go get Ashton Jeanty. And the whole time, they're just sitting there going, uh-huh. Yep, that's exactly what we're doing.
That part's got to be so much fun. You know? It's like one of my favorite things.
Well, you're a poker player.
Dude, that's what I'm thinking about. Is when you set up your profile at a table as, yo, you're tight aggressive. Like, oh, Spiegs folds a lot. He folds a lot because he plays tight. But then he's aggressive when he has it. And then once you've set up that,
you can play off of it.
You play off it, man. You know, and then you can do whatever the hell you want until you get caught. And then you got to reset the whole thing.
Yeah, but it worked for you in Vegas.
It did work for me in Vegas, 100%. And then it worked. My slot machine strategy worked really well.
Where you won $200.
Keep it right there. You're a good teammate.
I'm trying to be your attorney for you.
So Jalen Milroe, by the way, super exciting prospect. Like with his athleticism, like, and there's a lot of interesting upside there. Accuracy problems, but you talk about a guy who's got on the table to be a weapon the way that Jaden Daniels was a weapon as a rookie. Milroe's got that much more than Shador or some of these other guys.
I'd love to see Jalen Milroe end up in Dallas.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Gives him some time.
Learn from Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a good dude.
And I mean, I know
supplant him around week 9.
I know Jalen's family a little bit, and
it's the Alabama connection.
He's a good kid. His family's here.
Oh, that's right, Chicago connection.
Big portion of his family is here, and he's a good kid. And I think that I do want some Lank gear. I got to get some Lank gear. You have to let all naysayers know, Tanny.
Let all naysayers know.
I was wondering
know.
What the hell you're talking
that,
about.
That's Jalen's fashion line.
Remember?
Lank.
That became a thing.
Let all naysayers know.
By the way, I guess it has always been that, even though people think it's... Never mind.
I have a dank t-shirt, but that's something completely different.
Yeah, I bet it is. Hey, Marvin. Marvin, you're on the score.
Your cousin, Marvin Berry.
What's going on, man? What's up? What's up, y'all?
Hey, man.
How you doing today, Marvin?
I'm good, man. Good call from Vincent Gurney. Good call.
Agreed. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind, man? Draft was very interesting last night. I'm thankful that you all did do the show in which you introduced Colston Loveland to us, who may have not have known him as well. I was able to check out some highlights and see him. Day two, the draft board didn't kind of fall the way I needed it to fall toward the end of round one. I kind of like Tyleek and Donovan Jackson. At this point, I would love to get my hands on Nick Emmanuel and possibly trade back. I don't want to see a running back. I don't want to see Junkins. I don't want to see Travion. I know we can use one. Give me Caleb Johnson at 72, even if it costs me the fifth. To get back up to maybe 67, 68.
I'm seeing Caleb Johnson in a little bit higher than that. Like, I'm seeing him in the 60s, man. They might have to move to get him.
I don't think they can wait. I think this is the great benefit of having the two twos where they are is they can use one of those on a running back. And I really hope they do. Poles talked about that specifically last night. He was asked whether they were gonna, if they thought about moving back up into the first round. And he said that he didn't want to give up one of those two twos that they have because he thinks those are very good picks in this particular draft. He said that there's a lot of really good players in that spot, and it didn't make sense to give up one of those spots just to go up and get one guy. And I'm down with that. So I hope they go running back at 39 or 41.
A texter says, I still think Shadur ends up in Miami. That's also a good place for him. Because that offense is perfect for what Shadur does well. He is a timing guy. He gets the ball out quick. He doesn't have to do anything special because of all the playmakers that they have down there. That would be a good spot for him to land.
Can I hear some of this Wani stuff? Last
sure.
night, I didn't get a chance to hear much of the show. And Tanny was listening to the draft show where we cross-talked with him yesterday. Mark Grody, Judson Richards, and Dave Wanstead. And they were apparently, were they listening live to the Clay Matthews?
Yeah, so like we have done in years past, they had access to the live podium feed.
Sure.
So anytime anyone goes up to the podium, they take the audio. So of course, right at the beginning of the draft, after, you know, the play-by-play is also a great thing of Goodell coming out on the bike. After we have that one. But after Goodell comes out on his bike.
He almost went off the edge of the stage. I was, count me as wishing.
Yeah, so we all saw the Clay Matthews thing, but they are listening in real time, you know, because our air feed is slightly ahead of what they're seeing on the monitors in the studio. So this kind of all unfolded real time when Clay Matthews got up there last night.
I'm going to go off script here real quick, Roger, but I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right?
Who's that talking?
It Clay says, Matthews? My fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
Oh, wait a minute! No! Oh, no, you did it!
No!
Double!
Go Pack!
No! Dave, you can't let this happen.
Who?
For God's sake, you coach the Bears.
I'm sorry.
Clay Matthews just made my list.
Good luck.
Go get him, Greg.
I see you, Clay Matthews.
Was that Clay Matthews reading
I believe so. Yeah.
Was it really?
Bag. Seriously. Put him on the list. Put him on the Holmes list.
On the list.
Put him there. Bruce Levine's off the Holmes list.
Bruce is a mensch.
Especially what Bruce did for us the other day.
Yeah.
Further in the cause. And then this is what happened when Ashton Genty, I almost did it. I almost went Alsha. When Ashton Genty.
Ashlon.
When Ashlon Jean
Gentry.
Tie. Ashlon Pinky Gentry did not fall to the Bears.
Ashton Genty, running back out of Boise State, ends up with the Las Vegas Raiders. And not a surprise, though, that he did not get until 10 here in this draft, Wani.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed.
Really?
Yeah, I wondered. You know, I thought maybe he would slip to the Bears.
That was in the back of your head. I could tell.
Damn it! I know. Damn it!
You've hidden it well.
All right. Well, let me. We're gonna.
You're
give
certainly
you,
not alone, Wani.
Where's Shane's bourbon? I wasn't gonna. I'm drinking nothing but water, and I. God, I'm.
We'll go raid his office here.
Doggone it!
After that, you know what? This is a good time to take a break. We're all gonna collect ourselves.
I got to. I'm a little bit. Yes.
I know. I see you. You know what? We'll get some more of that Rinaldi's.
Where is the bourbon?
Oh, Wani was really upset.
Very, very upset.
I mean, he wasn't the only one. I also thought it was weird because it seemed like everyone was saying, well, people will be able to go watch the draft from Lambeau. And then you looked and there were people there. I'm like, I thought it would be more. Instead of people being so close to the stage, I thought a lot of people would kind of congregate in Lambeau, and it didn't seem like that was as big of a deal to people.
I thought it looked more crowded later in the night. So maybe there were people like bouncing
maybe you
around
went there and then like I'm going to go sit down in Lambeau.
Something like that or maybe because the Packers picked late, they waited for that moment. How about the Packers taking a wide receiver in the first round?
It's a great night for Green Bay. You know, Clay Matthews aside, you know what I mean? Like, maybe not the, you know, whatever. But, like, the way they executed the whole draft and they get their wide receiver.
How about Mark Murphy doing the.
Any owners in the house?
Yeah. All the owners that are here.
Pandering, jamoke.
I know, you know, we all saw our guy, Paulie Papst, out there yesterday, but then he double backed and went on with Rami last night. They let him in. He was on the phone in some. Like secure, like storage room. Like the security let him go into a quiet room to make a phone call.
Paulie was there front center that, with the Bears fans.
That's what I mean. So after that, after that, he goes on with Rami, and then you know some security guard let him go to a quiet place there. And you know, of course, it was like, hey, they may lock you in there when you see your Bears stuff. You know?
I prefer to talk to Paulie when he's in the Hibachi Place parking lot. That's my preferred Paulie.
He was killing it. He was killing it with the coverage last night.
I now only want Dan Patrick on the show. Forget that he's one of my idols. I only want him on the show if he's at the Hibachi restaurant.
It's the only place we ever talk to him.
That's all I want.
I like it. I like it. We should ask Paulie to give us Dan's email.
We should really get the email and send him like a gift card to like a Hibachi place.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
And we could send him his award back. Or did Paulie?
No deal.
Or did Paulie take it back the last time he was here?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Because I had mentioned it to him, take the Marconi back to Dan Patrick, because I'm sure it's very high on the list of all of the Emmys that he had.
We're taking the Marconi and never giving it back.
That's our new podcast, the Marconi Podcast.
Take the Marconi.
Yes. We're doing all of those
things.
But
only the Jardiniere. That's all we want.
And put it on your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Thanks to everyone involved in getting today's show together. It was kind of catch as catch can, but we did great work. Shout out to Tanny for hustling to get in here as the weather broke. But the weather is good now, and the Cubs are getting ready to play baseball. Thanks to Spiegs and myself and Ryan Porth and Sean Sears and Ray Diaz and
Alex Kuhn. Thank you, Alex.
Everyone, it was a team effort today to get us on the air, and we appreciate all of you. We will have a full breakdown of the Bears' entire draft Monday afternoon. Have a wonderful weekend. You can check in with us on socials, and you can check House of L podcast if you want. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay out of trouble. We will see you. Thank you so much for the love and support you show this show. We will try to repay the favor on Monday at 2 o'clock. Spiegel and Holmes, Cubs baseball is next on The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.